الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات. With regard to this ayat, and we were discussing that Allah Ta'ala has made of rozas, fasting, compulsory, not only the three basic things, which is the avoiding food, staying away from food, drink, and our sexual desires, but that also every part of the body Allah Ta'ala has made roza, fasting, compulsory. We were discussing about the eye and fasting of the eyes also. Not to look at anything wrong, especially nowadays with the cell phone, etc. Not to look at females, whether it is, we might think it's not wrong, but to look at any strange female, that is also not permissible, whether it's on the cell phone, whether it's in a film, on a video, whatever it might be. With regard to that, or rather before that, one too important about the postures, which we have discussed already, but for the benefit of the other brothers who might not have been here, two postures are very important that we should keep them in mind. And one is called Qawma. That is, after getting up from Ruku, we shouldn't just get halfway up. Though the details of Masail, Mufti Muhammad Desai is discussing, you can ask him, he will explain to you. But preferably, the better way, we should stand up properly until all the joints of the body have come to their place. Then proceed to go for sajda. Don't just get up and in another way, to the duration of one tasbih, subhanallah. At least for so long you should stand and then go into sajda. Sometimes we just get up a little, especially when we are in a hurry or when we are making namaz while traveling, while at home, then we don't consider and we just make our namaz very hurriedly. And we don't stand up properly. That is not correct. In some cases where we don't stand up the basic required amount, our namaz won't be made also. So we should consider and do it the preferred way, at least stand up and at least to the extent of one subhanallah, or that our bones, joints come back to their place. And the other is in jalsa. That is from sajda, when we get up, that also don't just get up a little and go into the second sajda, set up properly. And at least so much that the joints of the body come back to their places. Or one tasbih, subhanallah, to that extent, and then go for the next sajda. May Allah give us tawfiq to correct our namaz. And there is absolutely no doubt, if we will correct our namaz, like the Quran Sharif says, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ, that namaz will make, will stop a person from fahsha and munkar, from bad language, foul habits, bad habits, and all bad things, haram things, etc. Namaz will stop us. So the thing is, like we have a tree, it's not giving fruit, it's not just the leaves are drying up, it won't do you any good that you take water and you start throwing it on the tree. Any person, sane person, will know we have to work on the roots. If the roots come right, then automatically the leaves won't dry up, the tree won't dry off, it will give good fruit. You have to work on the roots. So namaz also is part of the roots. As-salatu imaduddin. If we work on our namaz, our other things will come right. We normally, like you want to catch a cat, if you catch it by the tail, it's going to turn around and scratch you badly. But you catch it by the neck, then you've got it. So just like that, our problems also we have got, that to catch them by the neck. And that is make our deen correct. And in deen, correct our iman. And in ibadat, correct our namaz. By this, Allah will correct our other matters. For us it is, we have to work on our namaz. So if we may correct our namaz, all the postures, the farais, wajibat, sunnat-e-mu'akkada, ghair-mu'akkada, everything we do, then our outside life will come correct. Just for as a reminder again, At one time in the Markaz in Nizamuddin, people were eating the guest, the people who had come in Jamaat, and there were other people appointed to serve them, and there were certain brothers, I don't know if it is a practice till now, but till when we were there, water wouldn't be put in jugs on the dasturkhan. There would be somebody walking around with water, and anyone once just makes a sign to them, they give them the water to drink. One person dropped the glass. Maulana Muhammad Ilyas rahmatullah alayhi looked up at him and told him, looks like your namaz is still not correct. So the namaz has an effect not only in our other deeni aspects also, but even in our dunya's aspects. And if our namaz comes correct, our deen will come correct. Our dunya will come correct. And when our deen will be correct, our akhirat will also be correct. And the basis of this is namaz, salat. So we should be careful that we perform our namaz correctly. So this postures here, we should keep them in mind. When we get up from sajda, sit properly. And then go to make the second sajda. When we get up from ruku, stand up properly and then go into sajda. With regard to what we were discussing, I thought we will end there about the fasting of the eyes, that we don't look at any haram, we avoid our eyes, not avoid, we determine that we will not look at any other woman. Together with that, any other thing which is undesirable, though it may be permissible, but undesirable, especially in Roza, the Roza is the name of keeping away from permissible things. Allah has made it, and this is what is mujahada. This is what is done in a khanqa when the relationship is correct, and the murid also sincerely wants his islah, and the sheikh also works on the islah. Then this is what is done. That permissible things are for a while made impermissible, and then the correction takes place. See, and this is not difficult to understand. Many times, a hakim, especially even doctors, will tell you avoid these things. And it is not that it is haram, those things are haram, they are permissible. But your present condition demands that you must avoid it for at least till when you get better. When you get better, then you can have those permissible things. So roza is also that la'allakum tattaqoon, so that you can, your islah can be made, you can acquire taqwa. So food is halal, Allah has made it halal, but is permissible, but in the roza, Allah told, keep away from it. Drink also, your wife, your legal wife also, but Allah Ta'ala has prohibited us during this period, so that we can get an objective, and that is taqwa, that is our islah. So therefore, many permissible things should be also be given up. So with our eyes also, haram has to be given up at all times. But if we want to stay away from haram, then especially during roza, stay away even from permissible things. Things which are not necessary. What are necessary to look at, you have to look at. But what are not necessary, though they are permissible, but stay away from that also. So try and avoid the cell phone totally. Don't use it at all. That is the best. And then those of us who are outside, who are going to our shops, who are going to the office, factories, working, etc., then there are women on the street, or at the workplace there are women, we should be more particular with our gazes. Yeah, our Shaykh has pointed out a very fine fiqhi point also, masala, a very fine point, that this ayah, that the ayat, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَخُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ, that cast some of your gazes low. Min absarihim, mean some of the gazes, tabriziya, not all your gazes. Some of them, that when there is a woman, now cast your gazes low. Otherwise, you are permitted to look around. Shariat has permitted to look. But the minute you see a woman, then cast your gazes low. Drop your gazes. But here, Hazrat has explained a very fine point, and that is where you know there are women around. There you are not permitted to look around. From the beginning you must keep your gazes low. Where you don't expect a woman to be there. Like we are sitting in the masjid here, you don't expect a woman. But if a woman has to walk in now, then suddenly you look, then drop your gazes. That is, that rule applies, النَّزْرَةُ الْأُولَى لَكَ وَثَانِيَةُ عَلَيْكَ. The first gaze is for you, it's marf, it's forgiven. But the second gaze will be on top of you. You will be accountable for that. And in that also, some people use the very, they are very sly, and they try and translate it also in a different way. That the first gaze is for you. So they keep on looking the first gaze. Okay? So if somebody tells them, you're looking at haram, he say, no, the first gaze is permitted. It's not my second gaze. It's still my first gaze. Okay? That is, using the right word, but to prove a wrong point. Okay? So that also is the slyness and the shrewdness of a person. And that it does not mean that at all. We should take the correct meaning. With regard to this also, some very important points that we should keep in mind. Hazrat Maulana Shah Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, it was famous about Hazrat that his daughter-in-law, he never ever picked up his eyes and even saw her, though they lived in one house, living together. And in fact, it was to this extent that if his daughter-in-law has to be put with another few women, 5-6 women, and then if Hazrat was asked to identify his own daughter-in-law, he won't be able to. He did not even know her to that extent, though they living for years together in the same house. This is, it was read in the Masail Kitabs, that Hurmat-e Musahara, that these things which become haram were in a very close family where there isn't parda and it's not practical, it can't be, and Islam is a practical religion. In the house, you have got your daughters also, there is no parda from your daughters. You have your daughters-in-law also, there isn't parda from them also, basically. You have your sisters-in-law, there is parda from them. But if they are living in one family, then the rules, we should find out how to live. If you cannot afford separate houses, to live separately, you are living in one house. But their laws are very strict also there. So we should find out those laws. And these are those things that, for example, there is no parda between a father-in-law and his daughter-in-law. But in these times of fitna, many muftis give the fatwa that there is parda. Because the fitna rate is so much. What we should read about in the newspapers, before in the non-Muslims, unfortunately those very terrible things are happening in our homes today. So we have to be very, very careful with regard to this. With regard to our gazes, and also which is becoming even worse than that. On Eid day, many people come and ask, good people, who have become conscious, who have become aware of the masala, that on Eid day, the mother-in-law also comes and shakes hands with the son-in-law. Father-in-law shakes hands with the daughter-in-law. And many places, they embrace also. They say, it's my daughter. Daughter-in-law, it's my mother, mother-in-law. Though, basically, it is permitted. But the presence of lust, which you don't know, which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Shaitan moves in the veins or in the veins of a person, how blood moves, Shaitan moves like that. And our Shaykh rahmatullah alayhi, Allah reward him tremendously and raise his stages, he gave such a beautiful example. He said that if the electricity department has sent notices out that in your area on a certain date, there won't be electricity between 8 and 4. But they write there a note at the bottom, but regard all wires as alive. Don't think that they won't be power, so you can also do your little work which you had to do. And now today there won't be power, so I can also work. You don't know when they might put the power on. So just like that, you might have no desire for your mother-in-law, for your sister, for your daughter-in-law, etc. But you don't know when Shaitan will just suddenly put that desire on. And the minute that happens, and skin touched skin, and you shook hands with one another, or you just put your hand on top of hers, and that little desire came, the consequences are disastrous, irreparable. Even 3 talaqs, there are ways that if the woman marries another woman again, she can become halal for her husband. But yet, to such an extent that there is no question of her becoming halal ever again. And it does not only affect, it affects the whole family. who gets affected. So therefore, we must be very careful with this and don't become informal and don't let our guard loose on this yet. That we think it doesn't matter, our family, we are pious family, we are ulama, we are all Sufis, we are pious people. We don't know shaitan, our enemy, how he will catch hold of a person. In fact, our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali mentioned this one instance that one Mali Sahib, an old man, he said that shaitan can never get the better of me. So shaitan said, I'll show you one day that how I will trap you. So one day he had to, for a place of teaching he had to go, he had to cross a little stream. The water used to be low, you just walk across, no bridges, low stream, and you walk across. One day it so happened that there was lot of water. There were heavy rains, the water was heavy, and a very old lady was sitting there and crying, and said, I have to get across, I have to go and see to my family, how am I going to go? Mali Sahib said, no problem, you sit on my back, on my shoulders, and I will carry you across. So she said, as they went in, she became heavier and heavier and heavier, till they came in the middle. And he's holding her thighs also so that she doesn't fall down. Something is rubbing against her neck also all the time. So then she said, I'm the same one you said that I will never get the better of you. You don't know where shaitan gets hold of you. You are driving, you see a woman on the road. It's after Asr time, just now it's going to be Maghrib. If I don't pick her up, I don't know who will pick her. She will be safe with me. Others, there are so many wolves around, and we don't know who will devour you, but you don't realize you're the biggest wolf in sheep clothing, and how shaitan gets hold of you. So these things, and we might just have a little laugh, but they are very serious matters, and consequences are more grave than the grave itself also. Consequences are very grave. In the same breath also, with regard to step parents and step children also, these are also things we should hear a lot about in the non-Muslims, in the newspapers those days, there weren't TVs and all the other media forms, but nowadays, unfortunately, we are hearing so much of it in good Muslim homes, practicing Muslim homes, these things are happening. So we have to be very, very careful where there is a step, the child is a stepchild, the stepfather with his stepdaughter, lot of precaution has to be taken. And never ever take it for granted that is the stepfather, stepdaughter, they can go together to the shop. The shop is only 5 minutes away. They're just going to the shop. Or in the afternoon, the wife is going for a program, Taaleem program, any other, just going to visit somebody. What's wrong if the stepfather and the stepdaughter, if they are father and daughter, and they are together? You don't know how shaitan works and how he will get people involved. So, and never ever also have this, that I can save myself. We don't know when, and don't ever, when something happens in another family, some other people, don't scorn at them. Don't taunt them. Allah Ta'ala will bring that thing in you. Without you knowing, without you having any idea, you are really a genuine person. You are well above board. No problem. But this little looking down, scorning and taunting those people and making a mock out of them, Allah will replay that whole thing in a worse way with you. So we have to be very careful about that also. So with regard to fasting of the eyes, there is one other aspect also that لَا تَمُدَّنَّ عَيْنَيْكَ إِلَى مَا مَتَّعَنَا بِهِ أَزْوَاجًا مِّنْهُمْ زَهْرَةَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا لِنَفْتِنَهُمْ فِيهِ. Don't look at what we gave to other people. All the dunya things, it comes clearly in the hadith. As far as dunya is concerned, look at those who have been given less than you. Then you will appreciate Allah's ni'mats on you. And don't look at those who have been given more than you. Then you will tend to be unthankful for what you have got. Let's see what they have got. And our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, Jazahumullah Khair, taught us, and we should learn this wazifa, especially those people who go in gasht, we all should be go for gasht also. And for those people who do collections for madrasas, etc., this year when you go to rich people's houses, And then there a person can get influenced by all their riches, what things they have, etc. So Hazrat said, when you go, in gush you go to a rich man's house, you have to go. And his house, how it is all made up for collection, people who do collections have to sometimes visit the rich people. Then read, Ya Mughni. Ya Mughni. By that, inshallah, that riches won't have any effect on you. If you won't have that desire. In fact, Allah reward those people. Qadi Abdul Wahhab, Rahmatullah Ali, was the Amir of Gujarat. In Ahmedabad he used to be. Whenever a Jamaat used to particularly go to a foreign country, even locally, and to a big city, like from Ahmedabad, they went to Madras, they went to Bombay, then after a day or two a week, he makes his own dawat by each of those satis who went in Jamaat. And then he observes in their houses that what have they brought from there. Did they buy things? Did they go and give dawat? Or did they become mad'u? And they were invited with the things of those places. We went to a Jamaat, went to South Africa, went to UK. Now we bought some souvenirs from there. And this is not you. Now you lost the object of your da'wah. You went and give them da'wah to deen, to akhirat. But you got invited to their dunya. You became mad'u. So he used to be very particular about this. Some of our satis, they had spent some time. And then Bhai Abdul Wahhab Sahab, Damat Barakatum, called them and then spoke to them, etc. He said, you people going home, you must have bought things for your family. They said, yes. He said, what you bought? They brought it. He said, leave it all here. This all stays here. This doesn't go. You didn't come here to buy things for the people. Though we feel normally, and unfortunately these are our top priorities, that we have to do all these things. But their nazar is very, very far. In fact, once with Jamaat, we were in Peshawar, which is on the border of Afghanistan in that side, and you get very good material there and very cheap material. So, and the family needed material also, because the type of clothing we went, and Jamaat clothing is different, so we had to have its own. So I went to a shop, and Bhai Abdul Ghafoor Rahmatullah Ali was one of the top workers, and there's so much to learn. I learned a lot of Jamaat work from him. He became very, very angry at me, and that you bought this. He said, I told him the reason. He says, in Raivind there are more than enough shops. You can buy there, not here. What will the people think also? These people came to give us dawat, and our dunya has invited them. They are influenced, and today we don't think a thing about it. And especially, we should all this eating out, etc., and all these things. We cook our own little food and have it. That is how we should try and live. So anyway, may Allah Ta'ala save us from all these things. So don't look at the dunya which Allah has given other people. That also, it's not haram to look. But you are going to, its effect on you, that you will also now start dreaming and planning and doing all those things. If you can yourself, you will want to earn more dunya. Or you will put your children in that line to earn dunya, so that they can have all these things, and you can also enjoy it with them. So though they are permissible in a sense, but avoid it. Other things which are also permissible, and some things we think are permissible. Also one tawbah that we should make, there are many gunas, sins that we commit, and we think they are nekis, they are righteous and good deeds. Like for example, to smile with your Muslim brother is sadaqah, is charity. But yeah, we have to spell it out, that Muslim brother smiles with Muslim brother. Now Muslim sister reads this, that to smile with your Muslim brother is charity. And she goes and smiles with her Muslim brother. That is ayn haram, total haram that is. That is no sadaqah sawab there. That is the fire of Jahannam for you there. So many times we think also we must be polite. When we are checking in at the airport with the girl that is checking us in, we have to be polite. We have to make a joke with her. That is what, without having made a joke, we didn't do our work properly. We're not showing our Islamic culture. Islam doesn't teach you to be dry and hard and that, brittle. No, you must make a little joke also. What's wrong with that? Or with the air hostess. You just pass a remark, make a joke. We think we are showing Islamic character. But in the meantime, we are getting involved in total haram. So therefore, we must also make tawbah of those gunas that we have committed, thinking that they were good deeds. In our mind, they were good deeds that we had done. But actually, it's no good deed, it is haram that we were involved in. So we have to be very careful of that. One time, our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali in the plane called us to him. He said, I took the magazine, a long flight, and I was glancing, and suddenly one page I opened, and a naked woman's picture there. He says, I didn't just make tawbah, but I want to call all of you and make you witnesses that I promise to Allah I will never touch these magazines again. Because without expecting it, you didn't think of it that you're going to see something like that. Maybe just the aeroplane magazine, something about it. But we know the adverts and things. And how many of us, if we are going on dini trips, without looking at the in-flight magazine, the trip is not complete. And it's your complimentary copy. And you have to take it with you also. And what adverts come in there, how they advertise. So we should try and avoid looking at that in-flight magazine also. And we got more. Quran Sharif we have got. We are going for Umrah. We are going to our Sheikh. We are going in Jamaat. Whatever it may be. Then there are more than other things that we can engage ourselves with instead of looking at the in-flight magazine. And especially when we know also the TV screen. One is your own screen in front of you on your seat that you can put it off, but the person next to you or the person on the next aisle has got his, or he's got a big screen. We have to be very careful at all these places. So we have to keep roza of the eyes in Ramzan, then we even will become conscious of these things. Otherwise we take all these things just for granted and we don't take it as a guna, we don't make tawbah. In fact, Allah reward our Shaykh very, very greatly amongst many things that he had taught us, which we were almost totally unaware of. One is that the love of Allah is something to be learned. And that is amongst the first of our farais. First things that are faraz upon us is to learn the love of Allah. And the seriousness of the guna of the eyes. Otherwise, we have come to a point that we hardly thought of it as anything. And this is also, till we are not in the company of Ahlullah, the genuine Ahlullah, we don't become conscious of this. We might just think that zikr is what is tasawwuf and what is khanqa, or that we just do a few things. But the seriousness, not only that it is a sin, but a terrible sin. That we don't become conscious. And when we are not conscious, we don't make tawbah also. A person now also, we ask ourselves that on a daily basis, especially those of us who are out in the shops and marketplaces where we have to go on the streets, how many of us make tawbah from the guna of the eyes? And Hazrat Maulana Shah Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, what a man, a person can't stop with speaking. And his condition, if a female writes a letter for Islah, it must be signed by the husband or a mahram, the father, the brother, the husband, somebody has to sign it. He says, even then when I'm replying it, and he says, I don't hide my feelings, I still get a feeling in my heart. I'm still that little inclination that is the female's letter. So these people are genuine. We try and show that when it comes to human matters, I'm like a piece of wood. I got no feelings. I've reached this level of fana yet. My nafs is fana. Where it's fana, that Allah knows. But it's fana, my nafs is fana. My nafs doesn't play havoc with me in the least, but it doesn't play fools with me. When it comes to human matters, I'm very, very strong. It doesn't touch me at all. These are all plans of shaitan. Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali says that I take extra precaution. Hazrat says when I'm traveling by train, and in India, till now, I think in Pakistan also, there is a separate section for the ladies, exclusive for ladies. So he says, when my train stops and there is another train, I don't look at the other train. What? How many possibilities? Just possibilities. Today when we say it's possible, they say, what you worried? You are over cautious. You are taking too much of precaution. You don't have to take so much. He says, it might just be that lady's coach might be there. It might just be that my eyes fall on a certain lady. It might just be that she's attractive to me. Every woman is not attractive to every man. According to taste, some men have got different, women have got different taste. She might just be attractive to me. It just possibly that my heart gets attracted to her. And now my thoughts go into her. The train will be going away. There is no contact. That train is going in a complete different direction. Like the airport, lounge in the airport, where in the lounges we are waiting, departure lounges, we see that the people are all sitting together. Announcement is made for one flight is going to the 12 hours in the east. Another flight is going 12 hours in the west. In 12 hours time, you're going to be 24 hours apart. And complete to the one extreme of the world, this side, one extreme. People are just moving and going in different directions. But you can't say that thought that came, how it can capture you, and how it can torture you, and how it can destroy you. So therefore he says, I just don't look at even at that other train. Though it's 100% permissible, it might be the man's coach, it might be an empty coach, but all these possibilities he puts, just for his precaution. It's for us to take lesson, not for me just to speak and for us to listen, but really if we can bring these precautions into our everything. And today people have got so much of ulterior motives and so much of other agendas, hidden agendas. So you have to be extremely more vigilant and more careful. Otherwise you don't know where you can get caught up and how you can get caught up. So our eyes, one is from what is, what we know what is haram, looking at other women, whether live women or whether in pictures or in video or TV or phone or whatever else it might be. Then don't look at other people also who are more wealthier than you. And that also, one person, he said that I'll never go and visit the rich people again. So they asked him why. So he said, I had a very bitter experience. What bitter experience you had? He said, I can visit this one rich person. So he asked me, what will you have? He offered me something hot or cold. It was a cold day. I said, something hot will be fine. What will you have? Tea, coffee, Milo, Ovaltine. He counted about 10 things. He said, tea will be okay. So he said, with milk or without milk? He said, with milk. So he asked, what milk? You want powder milk? You want the Africana cow? How many cows' names he took? Or you want buffalo milk? Or you want camel milk? Or you want goat milk? What milk you want? So he chose one milk. Then you want it sweet or you want it unsweetened? So he said, sweet will be okay. White sugar, brown sugar, kendril. How many 10 things he counted there? So he said, I think I'll just have a glass of water. So he said that water from the fridge or from the tap, mineral water or what water? Another 10 things he counted there. So he thinks, I think I'd rather leave. So he says, no problem, you want to leave from the front door, from the back door, from the side door, wooden door, the steel door, which door? So he's saying, I'd rather die. So he says, no problem, where would you like to die? Yeah. Or in the bedroom, or by the swimming pool, or where? He says, somehow I got out from there, and I thought he doesn't want to give me one teaspoon of tea. I'll never go back there again. So anyway, don't look up at these people. You be content with what Allah has given you, and you just make shukr on that. And also, al-ghina, ghina nafs. What is wealth and riches to be satisfied? You are satisfied with yourself, you're a rich man. And if you have got billions and you want to become a multi-billionaire, you're not a rich man. You're still a beggar and you still want more. A rich man is one who is just content. And really, as far as deen, we see in the Kitabu Riqaq, how many ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You've got your days, what you need, and you are making Allah's ibadat what you have to do. That is more than enough for you. What more do you want? But don't be fooled with all these other extra things. So that gaze, don't look at that. Then within the family, what are halal gazes also? Daughter-in-law, step-children, step-parents, etc. Be very careful. Don't make jokes unnecessarily also. Many people get influenced with jokes. that this person, a very jokey person, and he wants to have a, then they want to try and make more contact with you. Just because of all your jokes, be careful on that also. In fact, one person who had bought a BMW, and then he phoned to the company again, and he told them, "You sold me a dead car." They say, "Why?" They say, "This car, when I put it in D drive, then it works. It goes, I can go where I want to, but when I put it in night mode, N, then it just doesn't work at night, my car doesn't move. It's in night mode. Where it is, that is neutral, so the car is not going to move." And he says, "When I put it in R, race mode." One day I was stopped at a traffic light, and another person with an old, bombed out car, he said, "I'll race you." So he said, "No problem." So I put it in race mode, R, and then it smashed the car in the back. So that lady told, I wouldn't mind spending the weekend with you. So this is just this joking also with all others. We have to be careful also. Especially like with friends in the home, etc., that this person, his character is very good, he's very soft natured, very accommodating, he likes to praise and he praises a lot. All these things can come out very, very dangerous. Not today, not tomorrow. سَنَسْتَدْرِجُهُمْ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ وَأُمْلِي لَهُمْ إِنَّ كَيْدِي مَتِينَ. May Allah save us from all this. Allah says, "I'll give you line to play with. And then when I pull my line, then they say, you don't know how I pull the line." So you might be thinking everything is going rosy, and you have landed yourself in such a place where there is no return anymore. So may Allah protect us. So from that also we must save our eyes. And then, so don't look up at other people. Don't look at other women. And another thing, don't look down at anyone. Like now, I'm sitting here on top. If I look down at anyone, literally, they have to look down, but, and you are looking up at me, but that is just because how we are sitting. With regard to which also our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali taught us that a bubble is on top of the water, but a bubble is empty. You want to drink the bubble, what you're going to get? Nothing. Before you touch it, it's already burst, it's finished. So don't look at those who are on top that they are somebody. The actual water is at the bottom. Also, Surah Tabbat Yada is on top, and Qul Huwa Allahu Ahad is at the bottom. This doesn't mean that Tabbat Yada is superior to Qul Huwa Allahu Ahad. Surah Ikhlas, the fazilat of it, how great is Surah Ikhlas. And Tabbat Yada, which is on top, it hasn't got that. So somebody who is sitting on top doesn't mean that he's superior. Just by sitting on top, it is just for practical reasons. It doesn't make a person superior if he sits on top in any way whatsoever. So we should not feel bad if we have to sit down. But anyway, don't look down upon somebody. This is also a guna of the eyes. Now, when we have to keep roza, and here also, we all must be experiencing it and noticing it also. Somebody just comes and sit next to you, somebody is passing, and shaitan puts one thought of his in your mind. That this person is like this. This person, he has got this bad habit. This person did this in the past. That one thought, and you are dropped in the eyes of Allah Ta'ala. So this is also, practice this. And this is also part of our Islam. Don't look down upon anyone. And we don't, and yet take the lesson of a mirror. You look at a mirror, and al-mu'min mir'atul mu'min. Or kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam, a mu'min is a mirror for a mu'min. So when you look at a mirror, it will tell you exactly what you are. It won't add on. It won't subtract. It's just what you are. What is on your face, how you look, the mirror will tell you exactly like that. And the mirror won't tell anyone else about it. The minute you moved away from the mirror is not going to go and tell somebody else that that person who came, he had this mark on his face, he was like that. And the mirror is not going to keep it in its memory. The minute you have moved away, it's out of the memory of the mirror. There is a different story. By Allah, everything is captured, and it is kept there. Records are kept by Allah. Illa man tab. However, a person who makes tawbah, Allah forgives that person. So in any case, don't look down upon, look like a mirror. It doesn't look down upon you. It will tell you your faults, what faults you have got, but it won't look down upon you. So you also, what your Muslim brother, if we have paired up, which we have mentioned a few times, and which I think very few of us have done that we have paired up to find our faults. Because we feel, I'm all right, I don't have to, nobody, and I can't pair up with anyone who is of my level. My level is so high, who can I pair up with? So all this we have to do. And then we will find our faults. So this one fault which is very common, though, as Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali has explained, just the thought comes that somebody is bad, that he's low, it's not guna also, but it shows you are still not complete also. It shouldn't register. And make shukr to Allah if you, when you see somebody and his good thoughts about he's come to you, that he did this good, he did that good, he's a good person, make shukr. But our tendency and nature, and we have got nafs with us all the time, shaitan is overworking also. He will make us think bad about others. About you are making your namaz and the person next to you, how he's making namaz. You are sitting at the back and you looking at the person in front. You are looking for fault. Aib joi. To look for faults is a common thing also. That not that the faults are there, you saw them, but actually going to look for faults. And you have to see the faults of people. This is also. So the eyes we have to keep. And if we make this one Ramzan, we keep the roza of the eyes of permissible things also. Just worry about ourselves. And to this extent, in the Khanqah of Hazrat Maulana, Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, two brothers should stay together in one room for 40 days for 4 months. At the end of 40 days and 4 months, they don't know one another's names also. They don't know from where they come and where they, who their family and what work they do. They didn't come for that. But we, the first meeting, we know we can write a whole profile. And our whole profile is on the social media also. Together with our photos also. We are putting it on the social media and all our profile, etc. We are on our own and we are advertising to the world. Yet two brothers together in one room for 4 months, for 6 months, for 40 days, and they don't know anything about one another, they have come for a purpose. We haven't defined our purpose as yet, why we are here, for what we have come here. We are just passing our time, and who passes time, fails time. Anyway, today is Jummah, we should give more time for dua. May Allah Ta'ala let us keep rozas of the eyes in the correct way and full way and be saved of this terrible calamity for life. And then when a person is relieved of it, he will realize that what a great favor Allah has done. My eyes are just like a blind person who can't see. And he's seeing all, he can't see, he gets his, how much won't he appreciate? A person who is color blind, he sees red as green and green as red. How terrible is that? But when your eyes came right and you can see things in the right way, how much shukr won't you make? So when our eyes spiritually come right, then that person really will be able to make shukr. May Allah give us all tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.